Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, we seek to know and understand what goes on around us. Will you help us with that? Help us also to have proper relation with you, that we may grow in our relation with you. And we thank you for what you reveal about yourself to us. We thank you for the time in which we live, so much going on, and what will soon come to pass. Help us to understand that also. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. We do wonder about what tomorrow will bring. Often, there is an opportunity to share the good news of the gospel as we go through this life. And we can always look at the big picture of what the Bible shows us as we try to look at life and where we are in it in relation to God's plan. And if we look, we will see both the joy and the trouble that life holds for us. And always we can celebrate the joy that we have in the world around us and the people around us too. We like to be around people who have the joy of knowing God and the celebration of life. So let us be one of those people who we would like to be around. One who chooses to celebrate life, who looks to God and has a ready word with the good news of the gospel. Do you hear how so many people are saying, "Oh, Jesus must be returning very soon now"? Well, that certainly is a mystery. When will it be? And we keep looking for understanding. So let's not overthink it, but let's put a little thought into that question. When will Jesus return? And also, as we plan for the future, we do have to know that tomorrow is not guaranteed to us. And so we naturally think about what tomorrow holds, and we might think a little bit about the last days, or call it the end times, or the end of the age. There's a lot to wonder about as we read Scripture and we look at life. We just naturally wonder about it, and we try to figure it out. But for whatever the time frame of all that is, the important thing is that we have our eternal destiny. It is secure by knowing Jesus and to live a life that demonstrates that you belong to Him. And just now, I want to talk about these end days, the time that we are facing soon, and when will Jesus return to the earth? That is a question which we do not know the answer to, but we wonder about it, and the Bible describes it, and the people often enough that we talk to, they wonder about it too. They talk about it a little bit here and a little bit there. So we think about it. In the book of Acts 1:11, it tells how Jesus was taken up in a cloud, and in a like manner, Jesus will return. So that's one of the hints that we have about the return of Jesus in these end days. And another one is in Revelation 19:11, where Jesus is returning on a white horse. And you can be sure that both of those are true because they are in the Bible. And the Bible is completely true. We just don't know the whole understanding of how everything is true in the Bible. But when we look at the past, we gain confidence that everything in the Bible is true. I think my favorite example of the Bible being completely true, even if we don't understand it, is how there were prophecies describing the coming of Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago. The prophecies were that he would be born in Bethlehem and that he would come out of Egypt and that he would be a Nazarene. So we might have a hard time putting all those concepts together today, because Egypt and Nazareth and Bethlehem are quite far apart in a way. But if you think back to those days, 2,000 years ago, and you try to understand the prophecies, it was just too hard to do. You see, at that time, it was only a small percentage of the population who would travel more than a few miles from where they were born. So, for people thinking at that time, it was really pretty impossible to understand how those prophecies could all be true. And yet, we know today that they were true. They were completely true. Each prophecy was. And so it will be true in a similar way about what we know about the return of Jesus. And all that is written in the Bible. It's completely true. It's just that we don't quite understand it. Yes, Jesus will return. We don't quite know the timing of it. But I know I've been thinking about that kind of lately. I've been thinking about John the Baptist. He's been on my thoughts and in my heart and on my mind. And I think about him as being a forerunner to Jesus Christ. When Jesus came to the earth 2,000 years ago. And just now, many people have a sense that Jesus' return is drawing close. It's something that we can have a sense of, or we can have a logical understanding of. But it's not the same as knowing a time frame. Well, the Bible often has parallels in it that you can understand events that are current based on something that has happened before. And so when I think about Jesus coming to the earth again, I want to think about 2,000 years ago when he came to the earth. So this time, when he comes back and about now, he will return in glory, and that is foretold in the Bible. We think it's going to be soon, but we do wonder about how those parallel thoughts and occurrences can be. So I think of John the Baptist, how he foretold the coming of Jesus the Christ. Jesus of Nazareth, who was the Son of God. I think of Matthew 3:11, where it says, John the Baptist indeed baptized with water unto repentance. But speaking of Jesus, he who comes after John the Baptist is mightier. And His shoes I am not worthy to carry. He, Jesus, will baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Whoa, what a concept that is, isn't it? So I've been thinking about John the Baptist and how elsewhere John the Baptist was described as talking about God coming to the world and that judgment was imminent before all people ought to repent. Or not before, but they ought to repent and be baptized and show their faith through the fruits of their repentance. That's a good message for all people today. In fact, at any point in history, it's a good message. So, repent is a key word when we think of John the Baptist. And what does it mean to repent? The way I visualize that word is to think of all the things that God calls sin, and it might have to do with a thought, an act, or a person. And so what we do when I'm thinking about it is to just imagine myself or visualize myself putting all of that, which God calls sin, into a pile and looking at it, looking at that pile of things you just made. And then you turn around, turn your back to it, and you walk away from it. And you can have that exercise if you want of having the visualizing, putting it in a pile, and then you can physically turn around and take steps away from it. That kind of cements it in your thinking, in your brain. So that's what I think of when I think of repent. And then you never, ever think about it again, ever. Repent. Turn from your sin. Yeah, and be baptized. Now, baptism is a public declaration of your faith. It is not required for salvation, but I have heard some people say that it is, but as far as I know, it is not. Most people consider that baptism is a spiritual decision that by a physical act demonstrates that you are committed to following Jesus Christ. That's what I see. And also, you can demonstrate the fruits of your faith and repentance. That's kind of attached to it. So, about this, we can have a long discussion or a short discussion. And there are different points of view, that's for sure. Oh, in particular about salvation, one of those points of view is that you must believe only and you shall be saved. Now, that is talked about at several points in the Bible, in John 3:18 and Acts 16:31 and in Ephesians Chapter 2. So, believe only? Yes. And then that is demonstrated by the thief on the cross also. He believed only, and that was enough for Jesus to say, on this day you will be with me in paradise. But there is another point of view that people like to talk about, and often out of James chapter 2. James 2:14, that faith without works is dead. So you can have a counterpoint to that. It's good for a discussion, and in some cases, it will be an argument. Yeah, so it's pretty interesting. But I think it's important for each of us to have this matter settled within us. What I see the important part is your heart condition. What is the condition of your heart between you and Jesus? I think that is of key importance. But of course, we have a whole Bible to read and try to understand, and maybe you will read one part and get a different opinion. But try to understand and have your genuine relation with Jesus Christ, because that makes all the difference on where you spend eternity. Yeah. Jesus. How do we prepare to meet Jesus? Well, it can be a simple answer of repent and be baptized, like John the Baptist said. Let's see, Mark 1:4. John the Baptist did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Yeah. How are you doing at living out your faith? It's a pretty big question. I've heard the question asked, if you were examined, would your life show that you were a Christian? Could you be convicted of being a Christian if you were tried? Well, it's just a thought. It's something we can kind of weigh ourselves against and see where we want to be. So it's a thought. Okay, back to the question of when is Jesus returning? Will it be soon? Well, there are a lot of people who look at the signs around us, the signs in the world, and they present a very reasonable argument or discussion for why Jesus surely could return very soon. Well, I do like to listen to people and what they have to say. I listen to lots of people in the media, who talk on media, including YouTube and stuff like that, and the radio. Well, there's a lot of people who have an idea that the tribulation could be starting really, really soon. In fact, there have been people who have suggested that they can see that it might be God's timing to have already started. Now, there's people who have suggested this, and oh, they are so very careful to say they are not predicting it, and that's good. They are not predicting a year, but they have talked about the possibility of the tribulation period starting in a year, like Jonathan Cahn did, the Hebrew Sanhedrin did, Perry Stone did. That's all been within the last 5 years. They could see reason for it, but didn't want to predict it, of course. But they all have good logic. In fact, Perry Stone, I was listening to him like 10 days ago or something. He was talking about the global outpouring, and that would occur just before the Great Tribulation, and it is going on now. So, there's just people who really do see things happening right about now. The time is near for these end-time events. So, we want to be prepared for it, don't we? Yes, of course we want to be prepared in our mind, in our heart, in our spirit. And I say, also be prepared physically. Yes, the real preparation is to share the good news of the gospel, and that we are called upon to do. The Bible tells us that this is our great commission, and that comes out of Mark chapter 16, verse 15, to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Every creature, yeah. For a while, the part of that verse puzzled me, and I finally got a way that I understood the quote-unquote every creature part, because I used to practice speaking the Bible, the gospel, and I practiced by speaking, just speaking it. I used to speak to the books on my bookshelf. It's true. And then I worked up to speaking to the small living creatures like a bird or a squirrel or something. And so that's how I came to understand that verse for me personally, that was preach the gospel to every creature. You see, it was practice for me. It was practice. So I practiced speaking to the books and to the small animals, and oh boy, it's been a long journey for me to get to this point where I speak on the radio on Christ Today. Wow. Radio is a place that I did not at all plan to go. Never thought of it. But I did want to serve God through Jesus Christ and with the Holy Spirit. And then just certain things happened. Events that I could not have imagined. And now I'm speaking on the radio, which is amazing to me. This kind of a situation could happen to anyone, where we are called upon to fill in a gap, and so we do it because we want to serve God. That's just a part of what happens in life. And I certainly do continually pray for God's grace and direction. Oh boy, it gets me sometimes. Well, let me think. Go back to John the Baptist, and his message was repent and be baptized. Well, we can ask how much time is left before the return of Jesus, or before we go to meet Jesus. And oh, it's a good question. That's a big question. For me, it's fun to look at this. I like to. And I am reminded that we all ought to be concerned with preaching the gospel, speaking the gospel, and being faithful to Jesus Christ. Yeah, as we preach the gospel to every creature, like Mark 16:15 says. And as we love God and love our neighbor, like Matthew 22:37-39 says. Yep. Well, so Jesus is returning at some point, and it just might be pretty soon. And it might not be, too, but it may very well be soon. I think about those people who are younger, like children and grandchildren. And I think of them saying that they don't quite want the world to end yet. They want a little more time, a chance to live, like you did, Grandpa, you know, or whatever they say. And I just have to have the confidence and faith in God that His timing is perfect and His plan is perfect. So whatever it is that they have in mind for the future, God who loves them will have a plan where they also will be so very satisfied with God's plan. And we have to reassure people about that too, that God's plan is perfect, and it will be perfect for each person, young and old. They will be completely and perfectly fulfilled when they follow God's plan in this life and in the life to come. And it's all going to be so good when Jesus is our Lord and Savior. And we will be so very satisfied to fulfill the things which we are doing for Jesus Christ. So, again, we wonder about preparing for the return of Jesus at the end of the age. Well, like I said, for me, I like to think about it. It's fun. And there is a lot of differences that there can be with thoughts and with what people say and with the time frame of whatever it is that we are expecting. The time frame can have a great big variation. But we accept one of those markers in time where Matthew 24:34 says, "Regarding the fig tree, this generation shall not pass until these things have taken place." So, who is that fig tree? And when did it bud? So, the fig tree is so well established as a symbol of Israel. It's widely recognized. And so when did that little fig tree bud? In 1948, when it became a nation. And then we get to ask the question, is how long is a generation? It's overwhelming in the Bible that it is 60, that is 60+10, which is 70 years. That's a generation typically. It's just said so many times. But it's not the only answer. In fact, if you look at Psalm 90:10, it says the length of days of a life is 70 or 80 years if you are strong. So, we get to look at what? 1948+80 is 2028. Is that the year when all these things in Matthew chapter 24 will come to pass? Well, according to some it is. And it's a question of prophecy, isn't it? One thing I can tell about prophecy is that it is meant for proof as you look backwards in time. Prophecy is not intended to predict a future time frame. So that's something that is pretty clear to me. Well, you see more as you look more. And that's what I think we all do, is look a little bit here and a little bit there, and we get ideas from people who we talk to. So, I wanted to make the point that it is pretty difficult to predict future events. So, you have to be pretty careful when you hear somebody who makes a prediction, even if they are a strong Christian. So predicting the future it's a pretty tough thing to do. But we can see patterns, and oh, I see patterns. I see a lot of patterns. And that's, I think, a warning of the things that are coming. And we can do that all the time in life. We can see how it applies to people, or nations, or, well, just about everything. The patterns repeat ever so often. So, the other day I watched a video by Nelson Walters. I'd never heard of him before, but he made some pretty interesting points, just like other people do. I like a lot of people, I listen to them, and they find patterns. And I think it's good to listen, good to look, good to learn. But it's not the same as knowing that that's what's coming. It's not the same as knowing. But we can know from our intellectual examination that these things are likely. And that, I think, is what we do. I listen to a lot of people. Some claim that they've heard from God. Some just are thinkers. And I don't know that I believe them in either case. But I know that what they talk about could be true. And when I hear many people speaking in the same direction, again, I don't believe them, but I do remember what kind of things they're talking about. I wonder to myself how these things could be true. So that's just the way I do it. That's the way I have learned. So along comes this guy, Nelson Walters, who is drawing all sorts of parallels between current events and ancient history. So, yeah, I listen. And how he talks about the Bible events, it gets my attention. So he draws parallels to the 70 years of Babylonian captivity and the 70 years which the Israelites did not give up the land, how they're connected, and the Israelites' captivity gave the land a chance to rest for the time it should have. So the another part of that is what happened in Israel at that time was the economy was reset. And reset is a word that you can hear if you listen to the financial people today, that there will be a reset coming for our economy. It's possible. Their reset was almost to zero when everything was shut down, and all the debts between the Hebrew people were forgiven at that time. Now, there are people today, economic people, who talk about a reset in our United States. And they talk about a time when debt will be forgiven and when money fails. So it is an example that has happened in history. It's true that it has happened. Many times in history, even in the last 100 years. And then there was Germany. This is a famous example in the 1920s. After World War I, the German Kaiser took Germany off the gold standard, and he allowed the currency to become inflated, and in that way he could pay off the war debt for World War I. And this had a real hyperinflation that came to Germany in those 1920s. An example of this is in 1921, one U.S. dollar would have bought 90 Deutschmarks. And in 1923, one U.S. dollar would have bought 1 trillion Deutschmarks. Another example of that hyperinflation is in 1921, one loaf of bread cost 160 Deutschmarks. And in 1923, one loaf of bread cost 2 trillion Deutschmarks. How's that for hyperinflation? Well, in Germany at that time, everyone's savings got wiped out, and everyone's debt got wiped out also. And you kind of wonder, could that happen in the United States? Well, I'll tell you, it's happened to other countries, that's for sure. So, I just said that, I believe I just said that after World War II, the German Kaiser took Germany off of the gold standard. Well, that's happened in our United States. In 1971, President Nixon took the U.S. off of the gold standard. I remember 1971. I remember buying bread for 29 cents a loaf, or less even. But that was a common price. 29 cents a loaf for bread, and gas here in California, 24 cents a gallon. Well, maybe it was 24.9. But the point is we have had a great deal of inflation between 1971 and today. So you know what the prices are for bread and gasoline, way more. So I was listening to what this guy was saying, and of course, I recognized that he was not predicting a date, but he was predicting conditions. And I know there's a lot of people who predict. Sometimes it's in a prophetic way, and sometimes it is in a Christian way. Sometimes it is the study of patterns. There's lots of people that have predictions, and we can believe them or not. I think the thing we do is we look at them and we are aware that these are patterns that could continue. And that's why I think it's important to look at them, to say, hey, this stuff could happen here. Look out, look out. Yeah. You can go back a long ways. There's history that repeats. And so you get patterns. But you also look at people who do an intellectual looking. Now that's why I listen to people, because I try to get understanding of how people can put together patterns and dates. And one of them is to predict when Jesus is returning or when the Great Tribulation will start. That's kind of been a thing that people have done. You know, they will pull together lots of different facts, lots of different situations, and we can only take a guess at that and try to understand what it is they're trying to say. It's important to look. It's a good idea to try to understand the parallels between Jesus' first coming and his second coming. What happened when Jesus was baptized? When did his ministry begin? And what happened when? Sure, it's all good. So I find it interesting, as I said, to have people's opinions. And one of them, like I said, was Nelson Walters, and he was saying how he was expecting that the Great Tribulation could start as early as September 2020, or 2 years after that, depending on when Jesus Christ was baptized, as when that little time clock starts. But, you know, it's a thought. And I don't mean I agree. I only mean to say I look at it. And I think it's good to look at what different people say when they're thoughtful, when they have a spiritual overview of things. So, yeah, look at one man's opinion, but he's not the only one, because what we see is that it's about the time, and it still doesn't mean it won't be in another 80 years. But there are things that are happening, and we know that that it's good to look and it's good to try to figure out what will happen so that we can be prepared for when trouble comes. Yes, to our neighborhood, to our country. Well, I'll let you figure out how certain it is, but we do get to try to think of things. There are people who have ideas, and they talk about the pre-tribulation rapture and getting us out of trouble. Oh, it sounds so good and so much of what we want. Let's get out of trouble. Oh, yeah, but you have to be aware that the pre-trib rapture is only a theory. In some churches, it has gotten to be a doctrine. But there are other theories, too. Mid-tribulation, post-tribulation rapture, those are theories. And we don't have any of this plainly spelled out in the Bible. None of it is. So, you have to look and think and realize that, well, anything could happen. That's what you really want to be paying attention to. You don't know the future, and you don't want to base your life on a theory that is not written in the Bible. It's not. There's a chance that any of those three doctrines might occur: pre-tribulation rapture, mid-tribulation rapture, or post-tribulation rapture. So, with all of them being possible, even if you favor one over the other, they're all possible. And that, in my mind, makes me think that you will want to be prepared for that just in case. Just in case. Because the consequences of not being prepared, well, they're really, really serious. Yeah, can you imagine running out of something like food, or in these days, I guess you can use the example of toilet paper, too. We have had runs on all sorts of things. It's no fun to go without, that's for sure. And so we do want to have a supply of whatever it is. Now, what can we really not do without? Water and food. So remember that as you think about what you want to have available in your preparations. I mean, we do some things where it's pretty unlikely they'll happen, but we still have a safety net. We all get insurance. In fact, it's required by law to have insurance to drive. If we get a home, we have insurance on that home. If we are driving, we wear a seat belt. And you can be pretty sure that you're not going to get into an accident. What, they happen every 5 years or something? But you still wear your seat belt. It's an example of preparing for an event that there is very little chance that it will happen that year. So think about that seatbelt analogy and maybe put a few percent of your thoughts and your resources into preparing for the just-in-case with whatever those essentials are. Prepare with your essentials. And of course, I think of food and water. There's nothing more important than that. Food, water, and warmth. Now, we all have a different way of doing it. And your way will be the best way. Even if you listen to somebody, even if you listen to me, You will want to have your own ideas and your own list to try to figure out what it is that you yourself want to prepare with, want to get ready with. You have your own ideas, so listen to them. But that means you have to think about it and you have to do something. That's what I urge you to do. Think and do. I think about also, why would God leave us here during a really tough time? Let's just say part of the tribulation. Why would he leave us here through the difficult times? And I have to say that if you look at Bible history, you see that God has left many of his people to endure a difficult time, a great loss, and even death. They've happened when there have been man-made disasters, and they have happened when there has been natural disasters, both natural and man-made. So things happen. That's history. That's life. So are you going to get a little prepared? It's a good idea. I'm sure that you have noticed that if there are people in need, you have a chance to talk with them like you would not otherwise. You know, when you can give somebody something they need, they listen to you more. That's been the way that the gospel has been spread in many third world countries. They have a great big pot of rice with bowls, and they give people bowls of rice after they listen to the gospel message of Jesus Christ. That's just the pattern that has been happening in many of these current third world countries. So if that happens today, we're pretty sure that it will happen when there are other times of distress, like during the Great Tribulation. That's just one of those things we can look at and try to figure out how we can spread the good news of the gospel. So give someone care and compassion, and then they will often listen to what you have to say. And you can talk about the good news of the gospel. You can tell them about going to heaven and not hell for eternity. It's all different, and be guided by the Holy Spirit for what it is that you want to talk about. And yes, I do know that when I talk about tribulation, I am not talking about the wrath of God. No, we don't go through a time when the world is experiencing the wrath of God. That's just pretty plain, I think. But certainly, when the things happen on the earth or in the earth, we will want to be showing our Christian love to people like our neighbors, like the unsaved. And a part of that can be to have some food and water that we can give away. It can be very plain and basic. We also might want to prepare with having some food and water or a water filter, because we just might have to live outside of the beast system, the one world system and the mark of the beast. It just might happen. Don't be surprised if it does. And you listen to what's going on with the economic upset in our nation. There are people who want to have that one world system come about right about now. But we don't know that it will. It's just one of those things that could happen very quickly. If there is a collapse, it could happen very, very quickly. So, we take those preparedness steps. I know I say that over and over again, but I'm not sure how much you have prepared. Do you have a week's of food, a month's of food? Do you have a year's of food? I don't even know what to tell you for how much you should have. But I ask you to pray about it and think about it. To me, I think of a good water filter, a passive kind, and I think about food that is whole grains because they last and last and last, and a grain grinder, and then white grain, white rice also. I think of high-calorie food, whatever that will be. You know better what it is for you. I don't know, but those are the kind of things I think of. You might have a different idea and say, oh no, we want food that tastes better. Well, that's good. I hope you can do that. And yes, it's a good idea. But most of us, like me, we have a limited budget. And we have to do what we can do to have some food for the just in case. And to me, that is the basics. Grain and a grain grinder. You know what? You can write to me for my preparedness brochure. I have just the basic things on that. So, you know that recently there have been shortages of all sorts of things, from food to paper products. There have been shortages, and we did not expect there to be any shortages at all in our lifetime. And I say that because it's an opportunity for us to realize our system is not perfect, and we can have failures. Things can go wrong, and all of a sudden, we don't have what we need. And that is another reason to be prepared and have a storehouse of goods, of the things that you would like to have. And remember that there is a very good reason for you to be here. God put you here, right now. And it might be during some pretty hard times. Maybe it's true. And then you can help others and spread the good news of the gospel, the hope that is in we have in Jesus Christ. There have been miracles in the past. You might have one too. Matthew 14:20 talks about the boy who had fish and bread for lunch, and Jesus multiplied that food and fed the 5,000. What a miracle that was. We could have a miracle today. We could. And we could have miracles when we are in great need. But it's also wise to have something stored. I think that parable of the 10 virgins is a good one. And that is about having enough oil for their lamps. You see, 5 were prepared, and 5 were not prepared. The 5 who had enough oil, they went into the marriage feast. And the 5 who did not have enough oil, they were not allowed in. They were not allowed in. What do you think that symbolizes? Is there a prophetic pattern there? Yeah, there just might be. So the Bible tells us things. It speaks to our heart and our mind, and then we use our mind to figure things out. And in my case, I say, yes, get prepared. Think of those things. Think of those things not just for yourself. Oh, no. Think of other people. Think of the chances that you will have to share the gospel of Jesus Christ and have kindness and love in your heart towards the neighbors that you don't know. People just going from one place to another, and you get to show them love and kindness. Isn't that a way of promoting the gospel? Yes, it is. So have a little extra to give. And remember the words that are so often written in the Bible. Be not deceived, for there are so many things that are going on today, and we want to stay focused on Jesus Christ and the words of the Bible. Be not deceived. No. We have an enemy, and the enemy is trying to deceive us and take us away from the good news of the gospel. So be wise and be faithful to God through Jesus Christ and with the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ, let him be your Lord and your Savior. If you want to send anything to me in the way of a support, that would be great. It sure helps my budget when you do that. But I want to thank you for listening to the broadcast, and do remember that you can listen to past broadcasts of Christ Today by going to www.christtoday.org. That's all lowercase and no spaces. And you also can get my free preparedness brochure by sending a stamped, self-addressed envelope to me, John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. So, keep thinking, and may you walk with God, and may God walk with you.